Welcome back. You tuned into Inspired Afternoons, and yes, our a weekly afternoon dose of motivation, inspiration, empowerment, and education. And now it's time for my NPO segment. And today I'd like to acknowledge a phenomenal sister, a backbone of a world-renowned organization, the pillar of strength there to that organization, and someone who works behind the scene to make it happen. Also a visionary in terms of seeing that not only when it comes to relief efforts, not only do we need physical aid as well, but the emotional support to help somebody, a victim, become a survivor, to empower somebody. Because after a while, once your physical needs are met, people need to start then healing. And the process of healing is what then makes a break the person in terms of them restarting and then becoming mentors themselves through the hardship. Is that transition period where you require support? So Gift of the Givers does have a counseling supports. They have a part of the offering is counseling support, and the director of the Gift of the Givers counseling is Sister Zora Suleiman. She is the spouse of Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, the co-founder of the Gift of the Givers. As I've said, mentioned the backbone and the pillar of strength of this huge international organization. She has been in, she has worked as a relief worker in many, many war-torn areas as well. But her focus is emotional well-being and assisting people move from becoming victims to survivors and to achieve emotional well-being. So once they better versions of themselves, they can then give back and become positive members of society. So let me welcome Sister Zora to Inspired Afternoons. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zora, and welcome to Inspired Afternoons.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Last we chatted on International Women's Day. So I'm so pleased. Incidentally, I was just telling my producer, Salilo, that I just spoke earlier on to Dr. Fauzia from Malaysia, and I said how Allah made this coincidence that I spoke to her earlier, chatting to her about Ramadan in Malaysia, as well as the issue, the situation in Palestine from her perspective. And there I'm speaking to you on the same day, alhamdulillah. So a beautiful coincidence.
Alhamdulillah.
Sister Zora, the Gift of the Givers counseling wing is 24 years now in the running, and you are the director of this, and I think that's what also I had not many people are aware that Gift of the Givers does offer counseling services, and you are the director of this much needed support, the emotional support. Tell us a little bit about the counseling that you offer, and who is it aimed at, and where are you based, or is it telephonically, and then many people can reach you.
Okay, so let's start off by saying it's the service itself is called the Gift of the Givers Careline Counseling. We started in 1997. Previous to that, from 1995 to 1997, we focused on training. So we made sure that if our volunteers are there for people who are in need of psychological and emotional support, they had to be adequately trained to be able to offer that kind of service to the people in need. And to answer your question, we're based in Pietermaritzburg. It's a fully fledged service there where we see people on a face-to-face basis, telephone counseling. Now with COVID, we're also doing Zoom counseling, and we have been doing email counseling as well. And our services are not only for Muslims. It is for all race groups and all cultural groups and religious groups. So, and the whole idea for keeping it open to everybody was, I mean, when somebody has pain, emotional pain, whether it's if somebody's passed away, a Muslim person has lost somebody, a loved one, a Jewish person or a Christian person or a Hindu person has lost someone, the pain is the same. So for us, we reach out to everybody, irrespective of race, religion, or culture.
Absolutely, and I'm sure now with COVID, many, many people have had bereavements in their families, and there's a great deal for bereavement counseling. I myself am a bereavement counselor, and I've under with the South African National Women's Forum, we've set up bereavement counseling services, so I can identify in terms of bereavement counseling. So I'm sure during the COVID period, there must have an increased need for bereavement counseling.
Yes, I would say more last year. Last year, the number of our clients skyrocketed, and there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of PTSD, and those kind of conditions. And then there was always also the loss, you know, there were people grieving, and so they needed that kind of counseling. They also, the children who had lost parents or lost siblings and other loved ones in their family. We also do a special group with children, because children don't have the emotional literacy to express themselves, how they feel, and they can't tell you they're depressed, they can't tell you they're sad. So we have a specialized program that we run over 8 weeks with children groups, and it's we use play skills to do the bereavement counseling with children. So yes, last year our figures were very high. This year, it seems like people have sort of come to terms with it. They're less stressed, less anxious, and almost have embraced it as a new way of life.
Absolutely. Sister Zora, I'm sure when you started in the late 90s, even now, in close communities, in some communities, you know, people feel there's no need for counseling. You know, in some communities as well, you'd see like, you know, it would be discounted as it's not necessary, or you know what, yeah, if it's there, it's there. But there's still that stigma attached to somebody going to a counselor. Even if you reach out to a counselor, you try and keep it under wraps, so you might be judged unfairly. And why that stigma towards something that's important and so vital to assist somebody in terms of emotional well-being?
You know, the moment it becomes a mental condition, like anxiety, depression, PTSD, all of these are mental conditions. And the moment it is something like that, people think, oh, I'm mad, or you're mad, or you're going to see a psychologist, or you're having medication from a psychiatrist. So you know what, you're mad, or you're off your head, or something like that. I'm just using the colloquial language. But what people don't realize, very much like somebody has diabetes, where the chemical imbalances, where the chemicals are imbalanced in the pancreas, and maybe they need more insulin or whatever, and medication to balance out their blood sugar levels. Very much in the same way is a mental condition where the chemicals in the brain are imbalanced, either through a trauma or like we've been going through this period with COVID, or either because there's a genetic problem with the chemical imbalance in the brain. Now, the brain is very much an organ, like your heart, like your pancreas, your kidney, your liver, or any other organ in your body. But somehow, when somebody has to go for counseling or see a psychiatrist, there is the stigma that still, although it's much reduced compared to the past, but we still find people who have, they are against the idea, or they have a judgment against somebody who goes to counseling, or they themselves won't go despite how much they are suffering. They won't go because they feel that there's a stigma attached to it. So it's very much so. And this is where I think our people need to see that they need to change their view on how they look at a mental condition. It doesn't mean you're mad. That's not psychosis. It's not schizophrenia or one of the more extreme psychological conditions. These are everyday problems that we all suffer. Anxiety, depression, PTSD, acute stress disorder, and the list can go on. Grief, bereavement, all of that. Divorce, you know, there's problems in marriages, there's children where there's behavior problems, or there's problems in the family. These are all areas that can be addressed through a psychologist or through a psychiatrist, let's say, for instance, ADHD. The child may require some medication and with it, adjunctive counseling. And this gives you so much of relief. It gives you so much of, you can handle your problem. It gives you mastery over your condition. And you become empowered in what you are dealing with. And then you develop resilience. So people need to see it from that perspective.
Sister Zora, you gave us so much food for thought. And I love what you said in terms of when you receive counseling, you understand what is happening to you. Because absolutely, when you have these feelings in it, you yourself think, am I mad? Is there something wrong with me? Why am I feeling like this? You can't pinpoint or label why you're feeling like this. And when we come for counseling, people are there to say what you are experiencing, and they've put a name. There's a medical term, post-traumatic stress syndrome. You're given a medical term. You have a trained counselor who even gives you symptoms what you're experiencing. It makes sense. You're empowered now in terms of your own healing, how you're going from there, because you have somebody that empathizes, somebody that understands, and also somebody that breaks that mark to say, no, you're not mad, you're not this, or you're not being. Because I think one of the challenges, or I find in terms of counseling, is many people are then written off if they've been possessed. There's something wrong with you, you've been possessed, you need to pray this and get help because there's something wrong with you. So the external factor, I don't know, I'm sure you've come across this where clients have come to you and said, I've been accused of being possessed.
Yes, there's a lot of that type of thing where people say, you know, in English, where they say witchcraft or, you know, jadu or something like that has been done on them. So what they are experiencing is not actually valid psychological symptoms, but they attribute it to this other phenomena. And what people need to realize that when they go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and like you said earlier, once they understand, if the counselor is explaining to them, these are the symptoms of PTSD or these are the symptoms of depression, you know, you're not eating or you're not sleeping very well, or you have difficulty in concentrating. You cannot focus on a task that you're doing. It affects your decision making. So those are all symptoms of, let's say, for example, depression. Some of it is overlap with the PTSD. Say, oh, okay, now I know this is, you know, I'm not abnormal or I'm not losing it. Considering under the circumstances that I've been through, this is very normal. And then, of course, you also the counselor will tell you this is a temporary condition. And the more we can work with it, sometimes you need medical assistance with it to use as a crutch in the beginning, and then with adjunct therapy. But over time, this problem will be resolved and you will be back to your normal self again.
And that problem will be resolved with good support. And that, yes. I think, is the operative word, with good support, counselor support. And then I think your primary support. So for me, part of the counseling is family members need to be counseled on the condition of the patient for them to offer the appropriate support. Because the thing is, yes. Even if I come to you, Sister Zora, for counseling, and you give me the encouragement, counselor advice, calm me and that, but if I go back to an environment that is toxic and nobody understands me, it's counterproductive. So I think counseling Absolutely. Is holistic in terms of you have your patient that's coming to you, you have this facility, and then the family needs to be counseled in the appropriate support and intervention they need to give outside of the counselor space.
Very much so. And Sister Mariam, you mentioned a very important point. You know, in colloquial language, a lot of people will be bending around labels such as if somebody has got some kind of depression, maybe they got bipolar or whatever. But, you know, just people, the lay people will say, you know, he's bipolar or she's bipolar or he's schizo or things like that. We just use terms like that and label people around without understanding what the symptoms of the condition are. And that's one of the reasons probably why the stigma is reinforced because people use these psychological condition labels very loosely.
Absolutely. And I think it's important we're having this discussion because, you know, when we think of MPOs, we think about giving aid, distribution of aid, empowerment programs, skill development programs. And yes, these are all in its place. But if you have, if the recipient has a barrier to receiving this aid, or even when it's empowering empowerment programs, if you have a recipient who has a barrier in terms of this, so let's say you have you empowering them with a sewing class, but somebody who has been maybe a victim of sexual abuse and violence, and that they're not in the right space to receive what you're giving them. So it might be misconstrued that, you know, we're giving these group of ladies skills and empowering, they're not receptive. Yes, they're not receptive because they're not in a right space of mind. You've been to war-torn zones and trouble zones. And after the aid, and once they've had something to eat, your mind starts to process the trauma, whether you had to flee your home, grab your children, you are facing a barrel of the gun or running from bombs and things like this. Once you've eaten, once you've got clothing, what happens mentally? Your body, your mind starts processing this thing, and you're not the same person, and you've seen. Hence, counseling is not a luxury.
Definitely. Counseling is very expensive. For people out there who go to psychologists and psychiatrists, they know what the fees are like. On average, you'd pay for a counseling session, you'd pay about 1,000 rand. And then that to your session is 50 minutes. And then time is up and you have to make another appointment. Now, who has the money to go in every week or every second week to go and pay 1,000 rand when things are so tight and difficult economically nowadays? So alhamdulillah, with our counseling service, not everybody there is a psychologist, but we have a social worker who oversees the day-to-day running of the counseling. I'm the psychologist there, and we have a social auxiliary worker. And the rest of the counselors, some of them are social auxiliary workers, but most of them have been trained in counseling. And because we feel that they need to be upgraded on their skills on a regular basis, we continuously do this on a monthly, quarterly basis, where topics that are relevant at the time, some issue is rife at the time, then we would run a workshop or give extra information on that topic so that our counselors and we all are well resourced when we see clients having those kind of problems. So alhamdulillah, with the counseling service, this, as you said, it's a luxury. But with Gift of the Giver's Care, they give it for free. And although we are based in Pietermaritzburg, but people can reach us from all over the country. We've fielded calls from as far as Maputo, as the UK. So all you need is a telephone, and we've got a toll-free line. I suppose if it's overseas, then it doesn't work for toll-free, but local, we've got our toll-free number, and people can reach us from any part of South Africa. But the only restriction is that they won't be able to come in for a face-to-face. But they can do a Zoom appointment. They can do, email us, and we can do telephone counseling. So that is for free. And so people out there who are having any kind of emotional difficulty, they must feel free to call the Gift of the Giver's Care line, because we're only a phone call away.
And Sister Zora, the telephone number will be on the Gift of Givers website. Is the counseling service on the website?
Yes, it's there. There is a link. There's a quick link. The moment you go into the Gift of the Givers, you'll see a whole lot of links there. And then Gift of the Givers Care Line Counseling Service will come up. And then you just click on that, and then it will open up all the services of the Care Line Counseling Service.
Perfect. So anybody listening, help is at hand. As Sister Zora said, counseling is pricey, but alhamdulillah, there is an option. Gift of the Givers, including the sterling work they do in terms of humanitarian aid, relief, empowerment, skills programs, very, very vital Gift of the Givers counseling service. and it's available. So should you require the service, please do visit Gift of the Givers website and follow the link from the Gift of the Givers counseling service, and then you will have all the information at your disposal regarding what counselor services is on offer. We wish you well, and please continue the sterling work you do. As I say, you are the backbone not only of the counseling service but of the entire organization and the pillar of strength. And yes, you have very, very strong shoulders, because I think you bear the burden of everybody coming there, all the staff, all the volunteers, all the things. It's a huge responsibility. And they say Allah gives you only what you can handle. So alhamdulillah, Allah has seen you capable of this. So I always tell people, even when they come to me for counselor and they feel overwhelmed, and I say, think, you know what? Allah is giving you this because you have the skill. So sometimes we need to look at it positively, see it at the nahma, and embrace it. Because that's what I've learned to do. Instead of complaining, I have so much on my plate. Allah's given it for a reason, because I now can manage. So now, just like that, out there, please embrace it. Because not everybody has the capacity to do this. So if you feel that, you know what, family, community, society, everybody needs a piece of you, extended family, give them that and embrace it as a ni'mah. And I'm sure you do this. I can see you smiling and nodding, because you've certainly have embraced Sister Zora in her various capacities and roles and functions.
Alhamdulillah. And what I would like to say on this public forum is that this would not be possible without the volunteers. We have about 15 volunteers. Some of them are there when we started out in 1997. So they really, really, you know, loyal and committed and dedicated. And they're very, very experienced now. When you talk to them, you know, they've got so much of experience, and they've helped so many people. And with the 15 of them that are there, I must say this care line can't run without them, or the social worker, or the social auxiliary worker, or the psychologist. We all are needed there to make this service the success it is, and to reach out to the people that need our help.
And we'd like to acknowledge you, inshallah, the Almighty give you another 24 years and even above that. Continue, as you say, you've got sterling volunteers, and I'm sure you might be grooming and priming the younger generation to keep up the legacy and to continue, because this good work that Gift of the Givers do, irrespective of who's there, needs to continue, because the foundation has been built and the legacy continues. So we make dua, may the legacy continue, and the Almighty Ameen. Grant yourself as well as all the volunteers good health and strength in service of deen and humanity at large. Ameen. It's been an absolute pleasure, Sister Zora, and we'd like to take this opportunity to wish you well, as well as the entire Gift of the Givers family, from our family at Salaam Media to the Gift of the Givers family, joyous, blessed Eid, and fruitful last few days of Ramadan. Inshallah, may the Almighty accept all our efforts in our ibadah.
Ameen. Jazakallah, and the same for you, and the same for all the listeners.
I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always. That is our mother, support, mentor, Sister Zora Suleiman, co-founder of Gift of the Givers and director of Gift of the Givers Counseling. And yes, with that, it is the wrap. It is the show for today. I really, really enjoyed my time on Inspired Afternoons, Ramadan 1442. And it's been a pleasure. And tomorrow will be, sadly, our last day of Inspired Afternoons from me as a host for 1442. Been a delight. It just feels like the other day I was introducing Inspired Afternoons. And yes, here we are almost. This is our penultimate show, tomorrow being the last show from me presenting. My colleague and dearest sister, Nafisa, will then be doing the last two segments, depending on when is Eid. Yeah, and I'd leave you with a thought. When would you like Eid? Thursday or Friday? What is your day of preference? Irrespective of moon sighting, we need to see, but everybody has a preference. Brother Ponti told me he's making dua. Eid is on Thursday. And personally, I feel it will be lovely if Eid is on a Friday. We have a double khutbah and it's a blessed day, so double bonus blessings if on Friday. But any day, alhamdulillah, my preference is though Friday. Let's see whatever what Allah puts out for us and Almighty puts out for us and plans for us. So with that, until tomorrow, peace and blessings. May you be under the mercy and protection of the Almighty.